So I'm still joined in the studio by wonderful Emma Jane Unsworth, who's going to tell us about her second book, Animals, which was published to critical acclaim in 2014. Emma, if you had to describe Animals in a couple of sentences or a short paragraph, how would you describe it?
Okay, so I'd describe it as a rude and fierce riot about friendship and love and the animals in all of us.
Ooh. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Ooh, I'd like to say a lion, but I'd probably be something more, something small, maybe a fox.
A fox
is good.
Which is interesting because fox is the name of your child.
It is, I know. Yeah, yeah. And foxes are in the film of Animals as well, even though they're not in the book. But I guess they symbolise the wild creature in an urban setting. Like urban foxes are so interesting, aren't they? Because they are like the woods have come into the city in a way. So yeah, that's why they're important, because we were looking at the way that humans, especially women, always live with this kind of exchange of wildness and civilization inside them, and they're all sort of battling those two things.
I think what's so excellent about the book is it shines a light on the kind of real grittiness of female friendship, and it's, you know, it passes the Bechdel test in spades. It's not about blokes, it's not about love between romantic love between men and women, although that's used as a plot device. It's about real romantic love, non-sexual, between two women, and that's so important. That's something you hardly see displayed at all in any books or any films, which is why I think Animals is such a kind of groundbreaking book, and why it's so glad that it was made into a film. So the film rights were acquired by Sarah Brocklehurst. Could you tell us a bit about how it was acquired, how it felt, and then the process of you being asked to write the screenplay, which happens very rarely, if I'm right?
Yes, I know. It's like it's something that writers don't get asked to do very often, to adapt their own work. And also, it's a lot of novelists' worst nightmare. I know a lot of novelists who can't think of anything worse than adapting their own work, because then if it's dreadful, you can say, nothing to do with me. But I always fancied having a go at screenwriting. I think I'm quite a visual writer, quite a visual novelist. I always think about scenes and the way that they play out in my head, you know, like a film, I suppose, and then I write them down. A brilliant producer called Sarah Brocklehurst optioned the book in 2014, just before it came out. And I met her, and I just instantly just got that great gut feeling when someone just gets you and gets your work. And I think that my most precious and long-standing working relationships, I've had that with, you know, I've had that feeling, because they're like any kind of, when you're dealing with stuff that's as personal as your writing and your work, and you're so wrapped up in that yourself, then it's really important that you get someone that you connect and you have that chemistry with, and that trust, I think, with as well. And I just had that instantly with Sarah, and like with Sherry, you just need someone to champion you and believe in you. Sherry Ashworth, who published Hungry, my first book. So you do need that person who will take a chance on you and take a punt on you and say, yeah, you know, you can do this. Even though I'd not written screenplay before, Sarah said to me when she optioned the book, do you want to write it? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay. And so then she went and found, in a great producery way, she found a pot of money that exists with Creative England, or it certainly existed back then. Creative England is like a branch of the BFI. And they have a pot of money, or they had a pot of money, which might still be there. So check it out if you're a writer and want to get into screenwriting. But the pot of money is for people who've written something else and want to write a screenplay. So whatever else it is that you might have written, you can just have to prove that you can write. And then you have to be teamed up with an independent producer. And then you get the chance to write. You get funded for your time to write a script, which is
amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you just don't hear about things like that enough.
I would never have known. But obviously, like Sarah, being a great producer. And I think the relationship between writer and producer is so key. Because they do know where to get the money to actually get things made, because it's not just about writing great things, even though that's obviously a big part of it. It's about getting it out there and getting people to see it or read it and reaching people with it, you know, because if you're not, unless you're a diarist and you just want to put it under your bed, but if you want to get it out there, then it's about finding the people who can help you do that too. Almost more than finding the right director to work with initially, it was about finding the right producer. And I found that in Sarah. She was just brilliant, and she was new like me, you know, she'd only made one film before and had co-produced that, but I believed in her, and you know, we just kind of connected instantly, and we fought so hard to get this film made as well, because we had so many really gutting and annoying meetings with big companies who say things like, oh no, we're not going to give you any more money for this project because we've already got a film about women this year, or we've already got a film about women behaving badly, or do you think they're likable enough, the women in this film, and you're just like, come on, would you say that to Bret Easton Ellis, you know? so we came up against a lot of obstacles, and I think a lot of them were sexist. But anyway, we got there. We fought hard and we got there. And yeah, it got made. We got a great team together. We got a brilliant director attached, Sophie Hyde, who just, she had a brilliant film out called 52 Tuesdays, about a transgender parent and their child and their relationship over the course of a year. It's beautiful, amazing, brilliant film. It's a big exploration of the human body and family relationships. And so we just felt instantly that she was the right person for the job, and she just connected to it. And so we became a trio, me, Sophie and Sarah, and we just kind of sat around the table and thrashed it out. We're like, how do we split this book into... down into its basic components, so that then we can rebuild it into something that takes an hour and a half to watch as a film rather than something that takes 6 hours to read.
It's absolutely, I mean, the film is incredible. And if you are near any Picture House cinemas, I've seen it twice, and I'll happily see it again. Did the three of you are still friends? You managed to survive the process?
Totally. And I'm making more things with Sarah. So my next book, which is called Adults, which is out next February and available to pre-order, I'm making that into TV. And Sarah is involved with that with me. So that's great.
Excellent.
So we're working on that. And also we've teamed up with a company called Playground, a really brilliant TV production company called Playground, who make wonderful things, and we're working with them to turn Adults the book into Adults the TV show. So very much want to work with Sarah forever. And Sophie Sophie's so busy. She's in Australia and she's making a great TV show called The Hunting, which is about naked photos of teenagers that go around a school and the trauma that causes, and the fallout from that. So she's making really amazing, important television in Australia. But I hope that very much that we can work together again in the future with Sophie too.
What would you say, Emma, are the main differences between writing for screen and writing a novel? Like, what darlings did you have to kill? What sentences did you love in Animals the book that you couldn't put in Animals the film? Because I know you also had a cameo in Animals the film that was cut, which always kind of makes me laugh.
And he's not. There was one that was cut, but there was the one that remains is very, very blurred. Which I think I'm actually not because the director didn't know how to focus the lens, but just because of the shot, I'm just in the background and I'm really blurred. But I'm kind of happy with that. It's kind of, you know, I've definitely got a face for radio. So I'm like, really.
That is not true.
Really happy
listening.
To be in the background and I'm quite blurred, like a blurry green blob. So about adapting. Do you know, I read this great quote the other day by the TV writer Jesse Armstrong, who's amazing, who wrote The West Wing, and he's just written Succession, which is incredible. If you haven't seen Succession, watch Succession, it's awesome. It's about this really awful media family, but you end up really caring about them. It's masterful writing. But he said the other day, write the difference between writing a novel and stuff for screen is that when you're writing a novel, it's like trekking through the Arctic and you're on your hands and knees and the weather's in your face and you don't know if you're going to die and there's no one else around and you can't see the end. And then writing for screen, it's like you're all getting on the bus. It's like the band getting together on the bus and we're all going on a journey and we're all just kind of, you know, got our arms around each other and the camaraderie. And I think that's really true. I mean, It's not always as jolly as that, and it's not always as bleak as that being a novelist. It's not always as jolly as that doing screenwriting, but definitely the collaborative aspect of screenwriting I thought was a real gift and a real joy and a really different thing to writing a novel, which is so solitary. And I love solitude a lot of the time, but also I know it's not good for me all the time, and so I think that the mixture of the two, I'd love to do both forever because I really enjoy both ways of working, and they are very, very different.
And what's the reaction to the film been? Have you been happy with it?
So happy. I think I was just so lucky to work so closely with the director and the producers, and that's probably because it was an indie film and probably because we all got on so well. But I think, yeah, I got a really wonderful, gentle introduction to the whole adaptation world and the film world. We just trusted each other. I think that's the thing. There was trust, and I think trust is so key because you know then that. Because it felt like handing over my baby in a lot of ways, giving them a book, but at the same time I trusted them so much. It was just like taking it to a really brilliant nursery or something. It was just like, there you go. Even though it was getting made all over the world and they were chopping a bit in over there and doing a bit something else over there and over there, it was, you know, it I trusted them. And I said, when I saw the film for the first time, I sort of said, well, I felt like I handed my baby over and I just met it again as a teenager.
And you loved it.
And I loved it. Mm. And I could just like see like the how it had grown and evolved and matured, but it was all in sort of ways that felt right. It was just this lovely thing that we'd put together. It was dreamy.